we continue in our series of what does the Bible say about that? And my sermon topic, so I must confess, I have never heard a sermon about this topic, and I've never preached on this ever, but I want to address things that are going on in our culture today that are trying to speak into us. And so what is the truth around, is it okay to eat meat or hunt or fish or all those types of things in life? And what does the Bible say about that? And so we're going to get into that this morning. We're going to see what the text says, and you're going to know where to stand when the culture says, no, this is how we should live, or this is what you should eat, and so on. And so turn in your Bible with me this morning to the book of Genesis. And we're going to start out in Genesis 1, verse 28 and 29. This is before the fall, and then we're going to switch to Genesis 9, which is after the fall, after the flood. So Noah is coming off the ark. And then we're going to look at Deuteronomy, and then also a New Testament, Luke, as well. So you will get your answer from my question right off the bat here in a little bit when we get done reading Scripture. But we're going to dig into this a little bit more into detail this morning. And so is it okay to eat meat or hunt or fish in the world that we live in today? Genesis 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now notice he says to rule over it. And so command it, more or less, is what he says. Now turn to chapter 9 with me. Verses 1 through 4. Excuse me, did I? Yeah, I need to read verse 29 on chapter 1. This is a pretty key verse. Go back with me a minute. You need to hear this. Sorry. This is important because this is kind of where things switch. A lot of people ask this question. When did we get to eat meat and when did it happen in the Bible? And so this is before the fall, before sin entered. And we get verse 29. "Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." Right, there's the diet to Adam and Eve. So it was seeds. So think about those fruits that had seed in. Apple has a seed in it. An apricot has a seed. A peach has a seed in it. All those types of things is what God gave Adam and Eve. That was the first diet. And you could call that a vegetarian diet at that point before the fall. And now go to chapter 9 in Genesis with me. And we're just going to read a couple verses there, and I want to show you when that took place. Chapter 9 is God's covenant with Noah. So he's been on the ark now for quite some time, and now God is going to give him this command, and so you can follow along with me. "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything," is what the Lord commanded to his people, to Noah. And then go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Verse 15 and then verse 20. About page 293. "Nevertheless, you may slaughter your animals in any of your towns and eat as much of the meat as you want, as if it were a gazelle or deer, according to the blessing of the Lord your God gives you. Both the ceremonially unclean and clean may eat it." So there we see a pretty good diet as well. Now verse 20 in that same chapter. "When the Lord your God has enlarged your territory as he promised you, and you crave meat and say, 'I would like some meat,' then you may eat as much of it as you want," is what the Bible says. Now, I like that verse. I think that's a pretty good verse. So, all right, and then back to Luke. I want to just give you an Old Testament. Specifically, I want to give you a passage where Jesus ate meat this morning. So, chapter 24, verses 42 through 43. Now, this is after the resurrection of Christ. He appears to his disciples, and they're shocked, they're astonished, and he goes, "Are you real? How do we know this?" And Jesus says, "Give me some meat." is what he says. And so here's what verse 42 says. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. Now, there's a couple things going on there. Of course, it's a whole nother sermon that we see that Jesus' resurrected body still craves foods, can still eat, speaks of heaven one day, what that'll be like. And so maybe we get to eat meat in heaven as well. But what I want to emphasize this morning is that even Jesus ate meat in his day. A broiled fish was part of his diet that he recognized as well. So the reading of the word of the Lord, let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you bless this word as we spoke from it today. And Lord, there's a lot more details behind it. And Lord, as we go through this message this morning, may you bless these words. May they be your words and not mine. May you fill me with your spirit as I preach this message today. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your church, or those that are online or at home, Lord. We pray for the same blessing. May you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your word today. In Jesus we pray, amen. How many of you heard of Meatless Mondays? Anybody heard of that? A couple of you? All right, I'm assuming that most of you probably have heard it, and there's even some states that have practiced this now, but it's an international campaign that encourages people not to eat meat on Mondays to improve their health and the health of the planet. There's this movement, this cultural movement, that is trying to impress upon you that meat's not so good for you. And so I want to address that this morning. And so you might have heard about Meatless Mondays, and you might hear about it even more. I know the great state of Colorado has practiced it, and I have no idea what they're thinking. But anyway, they have started this. And so I wanted to address this morning in our culture because we see it going on in more places. Now, if you are a vegetarian, or maybe you're a vegan, there is nothing in Scripture that is against that type of diet. That's totally biblical if you'd like to follow that. And I'm not opposed to that if you like that kind of diet. Me personally, I like to also have meat in my diet. And so please don't tell me what I can and can't eat either, right? And so, and I'm not offended if you want to be vegan or vegetarian. And so I want to make that statement with you this morning that you know where you stand, that biblically there's nothing wrong with those things. Scripture does not speak against that, but nor does it speak against not eating meat. And so I want to dig into you with this morning about that. And so our culture's trying to give you this impression that eating meat is a bad thing. It's bad for us. It's bad for our environment. It's heartless to take the life of an animal. And I want to try to address that and correct that with you this morning. So what does the Bible have to say about taking an animal's life for food? We're going to look at some of those questions. Does God care about what you and I eat in our diets? Does he care about how we take care of our animals? Another good question. And the short answer to those questions that I give you this morning is yes, yes, and yes. So let's look at what that says to us this morning. Let me also address this. I am very aware that we live in an area that we produce a lot of livestock for food. I'm very aware of that. Having livestock myself as well. It's our livelihood. It's the base, the foundation of our communities. It's how we make our living. It's our livelihood. And I also want to address that as well this morning. And I believe that our farmers are some of the best farmers in the world and take care of the animals in some of the best ways that we have possible today to make sure that everyone is fed well. That's the priority that God has given us. And so I also want to salute our farmers this morning and those that are in the farming industry. I think that you are doing an excellent job. And you're following what Scripture teaches. And you will gather that this morning as well as we go through this message this morning. But there's also a lot of animal rights activists today who are so confused about what animal care should look like. And let me just explain a few of those to you this morning. How many of you have heard of PETA? Right? Yeah, an organization. There are a lot of other animal organizations out there as well that are trying to make their way to the top and trying to impress upon you and I of what animal care should look like and what animal rights should be about in the world that we live in today. And here's some things I want to point out to you this morning. They believe that animals should be treated with respect, and here's the cliffhanger, and have rights. That's what I want to address with you this morning. Because the Bible specifically addresses that word. When they speak that all animals should have rights, the Bible addresses that today as well. They also feel that people should not eat meat or fish or drink milk, nor wear leather or fur in their lives. And so the Bible also speaks to that as well. And I want to show you some very basic principles this morning in that. So what does the Bible have to say about all this kind of thinking this morning? The Bible teaches that God created everything on the earth and that man was placed here to be the steward or the caretaker of it, to rule over it, be in charge of it. Genesis 1 verse 28, which the very verse first I read you this morning in the green box, rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and those things that crawl upon the earth. God says, you're in command. You're in charge of what's going on here in the world that I've created for you. And part of caring for the earth is caring for creation, which would include the animal and plant kingdom as well. And I'm going to throw a few extra verses out there. And if you got your outline with you, you can jot those down. So here comes one. Proverbs 12 verse 10 says this. The righteous man regards the life of his animal. Means that he takes care of it. He watches over it. He does what's best for it. And then the second half of that verse says, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. There are people in this world that will not take care of God's creation or take care of their livestock. We hear stories about that from time to time of animal cruelty or things that are not getting taken care of as well in the world that you and I live in. But the Bible teaches that animals are to be treated with respect. But there's a difference between animal respect and animal rights. And I'd like to address that with you this morning. Most of these groups feel that animals should have the same rights as you and I, as humans. So I want to challenge that just a little bit this morning. They feel that it's wrong to eat animals. They feel it's wrong to use animals for research. They feel that it's wrong to have animals in a zoo. They feel that it's wrong to use animals maybe for fur or wherever it might be in the trading industry as well. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. If we truly believe Genesis 1 verse 28 that we care, that we're the caretakers of animals and we're created higher than the animal kingdom, never should an animal be placed at the same level as humanity. God has stated that in Genesis 1, verse 28. We are to rule over. We are created higher than. And here's that sticking point I want you to understand. You and I are created in the image of God. Animals are not. They are less than. That's the created order that God intended for this earth. And so sometimes people get that mixed up. Now, if you have, how many of you have a pet at home? Dog, cat, fish, whatever. I am totally fine with you having a pet and loving that pet. Some of you are laughing in there. You know, you might have a dog in the house or maybe a dog outside or whatever, a cat. But see, there's nothing wrong with those types of things. God has given us animals for two reasons. One for your enjoyment, the other for food. That's what they're there for. Those are good things. They're here. He created them for us in our lives. So never should an animal be elevated to the level of humanity. But our society today wants to elevate animals to the level of humanity. And I believe that at that point, that is unbiblical. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, that doesn't mean that we abuse animals or that we mistreat animals or that if we don't have a need for them that we just intentionally kill things. No, that's not what that means. That means we still care for what we have. We eat what we kill, what we eat, that type of a thing in our lives. But when an animal has more rights than a human, we have a problem in our society. And sometimes I think that that's starting to teeter over the edge the wrong way. And sometimes we might get confused about, well, what is right and wrong with this? And that's why I wanted to address this topic with you this morning. So God created some animals for enjoyment and others for food. So what does the Bible have to say about hunting and fishing? And most of you know that I love to fish. I'm not a big hunter. I didn't do a lot of hunting, but I love to fish. Some of you like to hunt, and you like to be outdoors and be in God's creation and do those types of things. So here's my question. It's on top of the screen this morning. Can animals be used for human use? What does the Bible say about that? Genesis 9, verse 2 and 3. Every creature that moves along the ground, I now give you everything, is what the Lord says. So when Noah and his family can picture them on the ark, when they came off the ark, they probably didn't walk onto green grass and trees full of fruit and food abundance all over. I imagine after a lengthy period of the flood, everything's looking kind of rash and tough and so on. And God said, you know what? You guys need to eat something. And God said, I give you meat. I give you animals. Right? They had an ark full of what? Animals. Right? And they're on there long enough. Maybe some offspring was born, and maybe they were fattening some things up, and God said, okay, I give you the right to eat meat now to feed your families and yourself. And we know that eventually the creation, the green plants, the trees, and all that stuff regrew, and there's fruit, and there's probably an abundance of vegetables and fruits, and then also meat entered the picture. Before the flood, in the time of Adam and Eve, the diet was vegan or vegetarian. And this is what he said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And then we know that the fall happened shortly after that. So here, I'm going to just set you up just a little bit here this morning. I want you to think about some things here. What happened when Adam and Eve realized they were naked? They covered themselves. Exactly. Now, can you tell me what they covered themselves with? What does the Bible say they used at first? All right, now, this is the perfect setup today. Today's supposed to be hot out there, 94. So can you imagine when they cut the fig leaf off and they sewed it around themselves, what that fig leaf looked like by 5 o'clock that night in the hot sun? Adam, everything's not getting covered, right? Eve, that's not working very well anymore. They probably, you guys get it. Those leaves, they get brittle and they crumble. And I can imagine when God's sitting there, well, hey, this is not a good plan. These fig leaves, this isn't working real well in this hot sun. And so here's what I want you to think about. Genesis 3, verse 21. It's another one of these verses that I didn't read to you, but write down on your outline. Maybe it's on there. But it said, the Lord God made garments of skin. Skin is what he said to them. For Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Now, where do you get skin from? Do you get skin from a plant or a tree? No. Skin comes from an animal. It is fair to say that God was the first, I can't say person because he's not a person. God was the first one to take the life of an animal to use it for humanity. He clothed Adam and Eve. Interesting, isn't it? You've all seen those pictures of Adam and Eve in these children's books. And then we might ask the question, did God really have to take the life of an animal to clothe Adam and Eve? No, he probably didn't have to. He could have spoke skin into existence and made that happen. But more than likely, God took the life of an animal for Adam and Eve to be clothed. And I want you to think about this. If he's using a rabbit or he's using some kind of raccoon or whatever it might be, do you think he might have to take more than one? More than likely, right? He probably had to take several animals to make the clothing that was needed for Adam and Eve. Now, you've got to remember they had sheep there. How many have ever worn wool underwear? I don't know if any of you had, right? That would probably not have been very comfortable for them to be that. Now, you can remember wool sweaters. You put a t-shirt under there for sure, right? And all day you're going like this because it itches and it irritates you. But God said that he took skins. And I think that's critical for us to see today. That God used his creation to support his people, humanity, in the world that you and I live in today. God chose to make clothes out of animal skins. So here's another question that I thought of, and I was reading books on this. What do you think they did with the meat that God harvested the skins off of? So the Bible doesn't have an answer. I don't know. So then we went, well, what conclusions might we draw from that? Could have they sacrificed it to God? I don't know. God said, this is going to be food for you, Adam and Eve, now that you've sinned? Maybe, but the Bible doesn't say that either. I don't know. But I don't think that God would skin an animal and just let it go to waste. So I'm not sure what happened there. The Bible doesn't address that in our passages anywhere this morning. But I don't think that God just left it be. Somewhere he utilized it in his kingdom. And so there are so many different verses about harvesting animals and eating meat this morning. Let's see, let me get to the right one here. Here we go. Here's some more I wanted to share with you. God told Moses to go and hunt certain kinds of animals and then to tan their hides to decorate the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Remember, we discussed that a few years back in the book of Leviticus. That tent of meeting was dressed and made out of animal skins. And he told Moses, go get many different types, make them different types of colors, and hang them in the tabernacle. Can you imagine if we had a church today filled with animal furs, what that might be like in our society? That could be a hot topic. But God commanded Moses, go do this for me. This is what I want it to look like. And I think that God enjoyed his creation. He enjoyed the look of skins and animals and furs that he did. Let me give you another example. Sacrifice. Exodus 29, verse 18. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It's a burnt offering for the Lord. Now remember, the sacrificial system came in. There were food laws back then that he gave his Israelites, and I'm not going to go into those details today. But here's what he said when he offered this to the Lord. It's a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Did you know that in Scripture, in the Old Testament, you can find it over 30 times where it says that when they sacrificed an animal, it was a sweet-smelling aroma unto the Lord. He loved the smell of a sacrificed animal. How many of you, when you're in the neighborhood and you can smell it, somebody's grilling on your block or down the street, right? You can. It smells great, doesn't it? You got a burger or a steak on, and what's that neighbor cooking over there? You see that smell? See, a sweet, pleasing aroma. See, God smelt that, and he said, it's good. I like it. It's pleasing to me. Peter, we have fish stories in the Bible. Remember when they were out in the boat and they couldn't catch nothing? And what did Jesus tell them? Throw your net on the other side of the boat. And they hauled up more fish than what they could handle, right? The nets were about to break. Now, they caught more fish than what they could eat. So what do you think they did with those fish? They were fishers of men, right? But also what they did is they took that heap of fish and they probably brought it to market somewhere and they were sold for others to eat fish in their towns and their communities. They marketed their meat, their catch, and so on is what the Bible talks about. Jesus ate meat. I shared that with you this morning. Luke 24, one of the verses that we read. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence, is what it says. I have one more story for you this morning about what the Bible talks about of eating meat. How many of you are familiar with the prodigal son, the story of Luke 15? right? Let's just touch that briefly with you. Some of you are looking at the bottom of my screen and smiling this morning. But let me just highlight a few things. So we know that the son, he went and wasted his inheritance, right? He went into a foreign land and he blew all his money and he found himself on the street and he's slopping the hogs and he's eating pig food or whatever. And he says, enough of this. I know that my father is well established and he has food for me to eat and I'm going back. And as he goes back, he sees his dad off in the distance, and it's a great picture. This is a parable, remember now. Jesus is telling this, and he's saying, this is like our Father in heaven. He greets us with open arms. He's gracious. He's loving. He's kind, and he forgives us for our sins. But here's the story I want to talk to you about eating meat this morning. When the father sees his son off in the distance, he welcomes him in, he hugs him, he loves him, he places a ring on his finger, gives him a robe, and he says this to him, let's make some salad and tofu. Nope. He says, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a barbecue. Let's celebrate the goodness of God. That's what he says. I just wonder, if we had to be politically correct, we'd have to say things like, let's have some chips and salsa. Let's have some carrots and fruit and celebrate. But that's not what Jesus said, is it? He said, kill the fatted calf and let's celebrate. Let's eat well. Let's take care of ourselves, is what he said. Let's celebrate the goodness of God, of what he provides for us. And so let me just wrap up by saying this to you this morning. Eating meat, hunting, fishing, it's a God-honored, Bible-blessed tradition for all of mankind. There are many passages in the Bible that speak about this truth. And I just gave you a few this morning that are tied to stories. You know, God was the first hunter. God was the first tailor that made clothes out of skins. God was the first one to take an animal's life and use it for humanity. Adam and Eve were the first one to wear clothes made out of animal skins. God told Noah to go find animals and to eat meat. He blessed that. And I have not found anywhere in Scripture where God changed that blessing ever. It's not in there. Now, there's nothing against having a different kind of a diet, but there's nothing against eating meat. There's nothing against taking livestock and using it for the purposes of humanity in the world that you and I live in. Remember that. No matter what the culture tells you, stick to the Word of God and what He teaches us today. And all of God's people said,